The Cynic, the best of Celtic FC podcast coverage. The Agenda, the Game Plan, the Midweek Report, the Reaction, the Celtic Women's Football Show, and many more weekly podcast releases. Available only through subscribing to The Cynic, the specialist in creating unique Celtic FC content. So if it's news shows, tactical analysis, reaction pods, women's team coverage, and feature content that you're after, subscribe to The Cynic and get access to all of these spectacular podcast events. Go to thecynic.co and find out exactly how to subscribe. Or if you want a more tiered approach, search for The Cynic on Patreon. The Cynic produces on average 32 Celtic podcasts per month. Signing up is easy and you can cancel at any time. Relentless in our coverage, unrivaled in our quality. It's paradise in your pocket. The Cynic, bringing to you the very best of Celtic FC podcast coverage.
Hello and welcome to The Cynic Weekly. I'm your deputy host, Paul Carlin, joined this week by Alan Edgar and Stuart Duggan. Alan, hello, how are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Looking forward to catch up back for the excitement of the international break, having missed last week, but listened in, enjoyed it. Glad to be back in the saddle.
Stuart, how are you doing? How was your experience over the past 7 days?
It's been good. I'm alarmed at the number of sort of cowboy-related wordplay we've had so far with deputies and saddles and such. I wondered if that was a deliberate thing. You're also wearing quite a checkered top, Paul.
I have two words, Stuart. Yee-haw.
There you go.
Great to be on the weekly. I'm out from behind the paywall for 1 week only. Let's start with the opening question. So obviously we're in an international week, aka the worst week in football. But basically, I'm just going to ask the both of you, and I'll come to you first, Alan, on this. Who does this international break favour most in the title running?
The correct answer, the natural answer, should be Celtic. But in our experience over this season, time has not been a great healer, to be honest. So I'm probably a little bit nervous for the guys that are away in international break. I wonder what type of assault courses we've set up for the lads that are remaining home at Lennox Town as well. They have a lot of fun there. If we can come through unscathed, obviously we can get some players back, get some more players up to speed that even are back. Cameron Carter-Vickers, for example, I think it's a huge boost that he's remaining with the group. Then I think it is an opportunity for us. I think both physically and emotionally the players seem a little bit tired at times, so I think a little bit of a reset, hopefully, you know, touch wood, everyone comes back unscathed. I think it's a big opportunity for us. I think any time you win the last game going into the international break, it's always a massive boost. Obviously Rangers didn't play at the weekend. I think you take that and you run with it. It's progress. It's a net positive. And anything like that at this kind of time when the team has been a little bit fragile is a real boost. So I'll be checking the dispatches most mornings. Hopefully everyone is nice and fresh, but we should be coming back in a stronger position than we finished off at the weekend anyway.
Yeah, sure. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think it is a difficult one to call, because obviously the inverse of what you're saying is that you would want to build on the momentum of a positive result and a positive performance, but we've seen time and again that it doesn't really matter week to week with this particular season, because it can just sort of, the tap can be turned off at any point. So there's no guarantee that we would have built on that if we were playing at the weekend. And I think you probably do have to look at the positives of more time to get key players back that are close. And we'll talk about Hitati, the likes of McGregor, even the likes of Luis Palma. And then you just hope. I think the big difference between the two teams is that we have more international players that go out. They very rarely come back with international injuries because they don't have any international players, which is frustrating. But I do think that the narrative, I talked a lot about the narrative last week when we were on, is going to shift as a result of those two factors, both the players coming back and the fact that the way that the fixtures went at the weekend means that, you know, we are top of the table and that is going to sit. And I think it does apply a little bit of pressure for certainly Rangers to come out and hit the ground running. And you would hope that there's going to be a bit of positive momentum behind the Celtic team, the fact that they've had some good performances and the fact that they are now at the most crucial point of the season starting to bring back some of their strongest players. So, yeah, like Alan, you just have to hope that there's no bad news from any of the players that are away and that everyone comes through training okay for the next week or so. And hopefully you can go into that Livingston game in a really positive position.
Just to clarify, players away on international duty are Greg Taylor and Finney Ralston, Matt O'Reilly, Adam Ida, Alistair Johnson, Dyson Maida, Yang, Odin Holm, Paolo Bernardo, Rocco Vatta and Daniel Kelly. I think Dyson played 90 minutes today, Alan. As Stuart says, it's just a case of just get these guys through this period and get them back and fire and fit.
Yeah, I mean, some of the players you've listed there, I think maybe haven't been at the sparkling best for us. So I think sometimes the... you can get a reaction from players going away and getting a boost. And I think we've seen that over the last 18 months with some players that when they go away, sometimes they keep thinking that phrase, activate the mentality. But they go away and they enjoy themselves a lot, but it takes the pressure off maybe, or takes the Celtic-related pressure off. So you're hoping that, you know, they come back fit and healthy and generally have a positive time when they're away. I think just as well, just kind of come into my mind when you mentioned, you know, some of the players that aren't away there as well, that, you know, they'll get a couple of days off, really important rest period, but you might find that when you've got players like Callum McGregor, Cameron Carter-Vickers that are remaining with the core group as well, they're players that generally wouldn't be there during the international break, and what you're hoping is it kicks up the levels a little bit and kind of maybe gives some of the fringe players, some of the guys that aren't away, you know, gives them a wee bit more of a boost, you know, having, you know, captain there, you know, a lot of other experience as well. You're really trying to take anything you can from it, but I think having players of that quality not away certainly can't do any harm at the levels of Lennox Town as well.
Absolutely. Stuart, what's your favourite way to activate your mentality?
Just wait till half time normally. That's in anything that I'm doing. Give it 60 minutes, activate the mentality, get the result over the line, turn it off again for another week.
I thought I need immediately of evacuate the dance floor when Alan said that. I don't know why.
Could be so cool. Just on players that are away, I saw this on Twitter and I didn't quite believe it, but it's a hell of a week for Dyson Maeda next week, where he will be in North Korea and then Livingston in a matter of days. Life comes at you fast.
Can we talk about his haircut? Sure. I don't know why, but I just feel like you will be enjoying Dyson Maeda's current hairstyle.
Absolutely. You know me so well. I think he'll run faster with it, if that's possible, and will just generally be better. It's very rare you see a player make a bold statement like that and not suddenly turn into an overnight flair player. So who knows? There's something going on with him at the moment. You know, the fact that he said he was quite mysterious about suddenly starting to grow his hair. Then he comes out and says it was his daughter that said this, and he's doing it for his daughter, and he's going to grow his hair long. And now he's bleached it. Dyson Maeda doesn't strike me as the sort of man that would have worried about aesthetics, or it wouldn't even entered his sort of frame of thought. And I don't know, he's different. He's different, a whole different prospect. And oh, it's exciting, isn't it?
I'm into it. I like the mystery of it. When I think there was a line along the lines of, "Wait till you see what I'm going to do with my hair." Which, if someone says that to me, I'm like, "Aye." Interested. Alan, how's this news affected you?
Loved it. I think a wee freshen up might do him the world of good. I think there'll be a lot of, if he has a positive performance at Ibrox and he's lifted aloft the league trophy at the end of May, then I think there'll be a lot of barbers all over the city that will be doing the old Neil Lennon kind of hair job, but just updating it to 2024. I always remember... Neil Lennon's obviously very iconic, but if Freddie Ljungberg red stripe was the one that prevailed through most of the, well, certainly 1 year of our football team, we went to a cup final and we all get the one red stripe down the middle. Straight from a can, you know, you weren't going to the barbers for that. It was literally just sprayed on and then washed out, I'd say 7 to 10 days. Well, a Celtic injury. Always took longer.
Yeah, James Forrest, like a James Forrest injury. It really is just about getting through this international period. And I feel like, as fans, it just feels like that as well, because no Celtic at the weekend's a total bummer. So, not long ago, well, this is almost halfway through it. Let's just take a quick look back at St Johnstone game at the weekend. Beat St Johnstone 3-1. Pretty good game. Stuart, thoughts on the game?
I thought it was excellent coming away from it. So many positives to take. And I think especially because maybe 10 or 15 minutes in, you thought, oh, I've seen this. I've seen this film before. And then the fact that it didn't really turn out like that was very pleasing. And lots of really exciting individual performances. And it's rare that you can kind of come away from games this season and point to more than one, or it's normally who's bailed you out or sort of cracks a light, whereas I thought there was a number of really positive performances across the pitch. Obviously, Cameron Carter-Vickers is a very obvious one. Immediately just brings a sense of calm and composure to the defence, which I think the whole team can build on. I think you get more out of Taylor, you get more out of Johnson. And even Stephen Welsh, who's really struggled in recent weeks, looks far more composed. I thought Tomoki Iwata was excellent. I would prefer him to move the ball a little quicker, but I thought in general he was great. Should have had a goal as well. Probably should have had a couple of goals. And then the Nicholas Kuhn redemption arc continues. Excellent performance from him. Really dynamic, really exciting. Lots of end product as well. And then we've been talking about it for weeks now. The best route for Celtic achieving the goals that they want to between now and the end of the season is a fit and fire in Kyogo. And he looked very, very good, very exciting. And they looked like they were starting to play towards his strengths again. A couple of those early balls in behind he saw for the second goal. And just generally really lively. And again, could have had a couple. But him starting to move in the right direction as well. So lots of positives. I went to the game with Ian and I said at halftime, I was like, do you know what would be great? Really novel. See if we just came out and scored early and we just didn't have to worry about the sort of 60-minute capitulation when Carter Vickers has to go off. And we did. And it was wonderful.
I agree with all of that. Nicholas Kuhn, Alan, the fact that we're potentially in a position soon where we might actually have the option of Kuhn or Yang or even Forrest for this title run in just feels like it's coming at a pretty good time.
Yeah, I think it's I think that's putting it mildly. I think it was necessary. I think particularly in those wide areas, there was a need for someone to throw their hat in the ring. And I think, again, maybe similar to the conversations we've had about a couple of players over the last few weeks on the weekly, I think it's not about thinking, well, that's great, Nicholas Kuhn now starts and plays 90 minutes every game if he's fit and available because he's that player. I think it's more about being able to go to someone else if plan A isn't working and vice versa. Because I think Yang was, you know, unfortunate with his red card at Tynecastle, but he was starting to come into a little bit of form. But I don't think with either of them, at this point, I have the belief that any of them are going to necessarily be, over the next 10 games, ruthlessly consistent. But what you can get is now variety. You've got options. And Kuhn's performance, I was very cautious, if I'm honest, after Livingston, because I felt that the standard that Livingston's fullbacks, particularly in that day, was pretty abysmal. Obviously, they're focusing on the league a little bit more, and I would imagine it'll be a different prospect next week. But I thought Kuhn's performance at the weekend was genuinely really exciting. He looked dynamic, he looked aggressive, he looked like he wanted to make things happen. The kind of passive player that we've seen quite a lot of really wasn't there, and he wanted to go and make his imprint in the game, and he did. I thought he was really, really good. I thought his touch was good. I thought he used the runner down the side, Johnston, really, really well. Didn't always go to him, but he allowed him to take a player away and then make things happen. So I think for a home game against St Johnston, which, you know, maybe you could argue should be routine, it might sound arrogant, but that is the dynamic of this league. I think it was as positive a performance as you could really have hoped for, and especially maybe November onwards, I don't think there's been too many like that at Celtic Park that have been as comfortable throughout the 90 minutes. I think, as Stuart said, even when CCB went off, there was maybe a little bit of untidiness, but I think it was as good a 90 minutes as I've put in quite some time at Celtic Park, you know, there wasn't any period of the game where it was in flux. It looked really controlled from the minute we scored.
Just specifically on the wingers, you know, it's an area of the pitch that we've barely been functional in all season, let alone had a player that can put consistent performances together. And I think that what could be very exciting for this last period of the season, where you've got these really, really important games, if you can get a level of performance out of multiple wingers, and I know that that sounds like a real, like, well, of course you should be able to at a club like Celtic, but we just haven't had it this season. If you think back to under Ange, when, you know, you would occasionally swap wings and you'd have Maeda and Jota, and just when you think you've got one maybe sort of figured out, you get a completely different prospect. Or then Arabada comes on and everyone has bags of energy, plays slightly differently and can offer you different problems. I think that if you looked at that sort of like small roster of wingers, maybe with the exception of Palma just now, who we haven't quite seen it click for, certainly for a wee while, I think as a fullback, you would be having a horrible afternoon if Nicholas Kuhn's playing really well and then he comes off and is replaced by a player like Yang, or you have a totally different challenge in Forrest, who starts to just move the ball maybe a bit more slowly, methodically than some of those players do. And I think that the fact that we don't even really know who's going to start and hold down that sort of berth probably bodes well. The fact that very difficult to plan for that, and there's probably not a lot of good tape on Celtic wingers playing consistently well this season, which might bode well in our favour as well.
I was just going to try to write down the wingers that we have available, and what felt, it just felt like at the start or halfway through the season we had too many shite wingers, and we've kind of narrowed it down to a kind of core five of Maeda, Yang, Kuhn, Palma and Forrest. Alan, does that feel, well, I mean, it has to be enough to get us through the rest of the season, but does that feel like a pool of wingers that you would be quite happy relying on?
I think bluntly my answer would be probably no, but look, we've got 9 games left at the end of the season. Let's try and enjoy ourselves a wee bit. I think what it is, a pool of wingers that you can, you know, if you're talking about European games, etc., I think that you need a standout, you need a knockout there. And at this point, don't see a knockout there. But I think what that pool can do, and I think with the kind of variety of games that you'll have, is I think it will be a case of picking and choosing based on who you're playing. But I think for all the big games, I think both Rangers games, any, you know, Hamden, any games like that, Dyson Maeda probably plays 70-80 minutes, and I think he probably plays most of the other games. I think thereafter what you look at is what you need in the game, and I think the fact that Brendan Rodgers has pointed out that Yang off the left is an option that he would like to explore probably is your, you know, with Palma really not having a good, well, 2024 really hasn't been very positive for him. I think you're maybe looking at that to be that option there. And then on the right-hand side, I think James Forrest will be very limited to 25-minute cameos. I think the manager's comments after the Livingston game probably indicate that. But it is enough to get you by on the condition that at least 3 of those are on form. I think if you get the inconsistency of Palma, you add that into maybe Yang's inexperience, then it becomes a bit trickier, but it's certainly a more pretty picture given Kuhn's performance against St Johnstone than it was before, because I think it's a very different picture if he's a player that you can't count on. And I think he's maybe shown life in him over the last kind of 7 to 10 days. You add that into the manager's positive comments, it certainly it does paint a much prettier picture.
Stu,
Well, I was just going to say, obviously, hindsight will be 20/20 on this when we look back at the end of the season, but it would be really nice if we looked at that spell of maybe, well, turn of the year till now. I know that's when you say spell, it's quite a big chunk of the season, but you look at that and say it was a really rough patch where you managed to keep in touch and you managed to not literally capitulate. And I kind of feel like if you asked an honest Rangers fan what his worst case scenario would be, is that that's as poor as Celtic we're going to get, and they're only going to get better and stronger until the end of the season. There is a scenario that I could see that happening. Obviously, there's not enough anecdotal evidence of consistency to really sort of give you the confidence to think, oh, well, we are going to kick on now. But just thinking that would be nice, I suppose, was my only real thought, that it might be how we look back on it.
I think just maybe let's try and be positive. I think if you had offered, you know, if you'd have seen a performance against Kilmarnock, you'd see the performance in December against Hearts at home. I think if you'd have put us in the position that we're in at the moment, you probably would have at that point thought, you know what, I'll take that. and kick the can down the road. And I think that is largely the position we're in. I think it is disappointing. I think we should be in a far stronger position, but we're not, and you just have to kind of work with it. And you are in a title race, it is neck and neck. Your destiny is in your own hands. If you would have offered me that as heart's second goal sealed in from a pretty cheap free kick in December, I think I'd have maybe said, do you know what, I'll take that.
Something's changed with me over the past few weeks. I'm a very negative, I have a very negative outlook when it comes to Celtic, because I feel like it's easier to be, to expect to be disappointed and then to be elated when something good happens. But I don't know about how it'd be you guys, so let's find out. I'm feeling strangely optimistic about this title running, and I really, really actually believe that we can do it. Where are you two on that, Stuart?
I don't know if I'm quite as optimistic as that. I do feel more optimistic than I did, just in the sense that if you can start getting these bodies back in and get a level of consistency, and the team just seem to be doing the fundamental things as part of like a game plan. There's been so many times that this season that we've looked at it and gone, we don't even know how we're trying to play. I thought at the weekend there were quite clear patterns of play and how we were trying to get in behind a really sort of stuffy five-man defence. And I don't know. I just feel, part of me all season has felt like nothing's gone for us, and it's like not destined to be, like things Rodgers has said, the strip, really weird like hoodoo sort of things.
Aye.
The fact that it's probably going to hinge on these three Rangers games, and is it likely in a season that we'll win 5 out of 5 against them? Don't know, but you know, they're really fine margins now, so I feel more positive than I did, but I still think things could go against us, so I wouldn't be as confident as to say confident.
Okay, that's fine. Alan, I'm going to pose the same question, but I'm going to tie in a listener question here, just that Liam got in touch. Liam says, 8 games left, effectively 2 points against them, effectively points behind. If you were offered us and them getting the exact same points in the other 6 games, leaving the league to be decided by the 2 derbies, with us needing a win and a draw minimum from those, of course, would you take it? Personally, I wouldn't. I know it's the other games this season which have been our problem, but I feel like we're improving and they're due some bad results. It would also make the derbies even more unbearable, but I get the logic for those who would take that scenario. So it'd be good to get your thoughts. So basically, down to the Rangers games, but also, Alan, how are you feeling about the next set of 8 games?
Yeah, I mean, there's no easy way. Those Rangers games are going to be unbearable. For Liam, I would strap yourself in there. They will be, even if you win them, they'll be horrible, because you'll have to get through the 90 minutes to be able to enjoy it. So that is very much at the forefront of my mind, and I know it's been at the forefront of Stuart Duggan's mind for what feels like about 5 weeks. I remember us having a slight argument about how long it was away, but we can put that to bed now. It's not far away at all. I would take that scenario. I don't have the confidence in, firstly, I don't have the confidence necessarily in us being flawless against other teams. I think we have shown fragility. We were very unfortunate at Hearts the other week, but there has been tough games. We've got a tough record against Kelly. Hearts and Habs are always difficult, so I don't have that confidence. On top of that, I'm not convinced that I see too many dropped points from across the way, and I would just rather have it in your own hands, and I'm happy for it to come down to derbies, because I have been extremely critical of Brendan Rodgers since he came back in. I do add context to it. I think recruitment has been shabby, but I think that should have been part of the discussion when he came in. He had power, you know, when he was coming in, appointing, negotiating salary, etc. At that point, recruitment should have been front and centre, in my opinion, so I don't think he's blameless there. However, what he is a manager that does understand the derbies. He understands the importance of them. And I don't think you don't need to win them both. You need to, you know, get 4 points from 6 in that scenario. And I would trust him to be able to do that. So, you know, you think of the result he got back in September. You look at the squad that started that game. A lot of those guys we've actually since disregarded entirely. So we are an improved unit. I think we are better. And I think he does have an ability to get big results. And I think I touched on it a wee bit in the weekly as well. I think particularly if you can get a positive result at Ibrox, and a class of positive result is a draw as well, to be fair. Mm. I think it does apply pressure to the Rangers manager, and his record since he's come in has been pretty good. But when you do apply pressure to him, he does tend to very, very quickly wilt and say some very bizarre things at times. So I think if you get that pressure, you apply that, then you know, you see if you can get a net boost from that. So I would take the scenario that, that Liam's posed purely on the basis that I don't have entire confidence. It's not improbable that we could beat all the other teams, but if you could take that out of hand right away and just bring it down to the derbies and say, like, get 4 out of 6 points and you can win a league, one of them being at home, I think I would take that quite gladly.
I think I somehow feel less optimistic than I did having listened to you two, but I feel more realistic. Can a person feel realistic? I don't know if that's a thing. Thanks for your question, Liam. A few more listener questions that we'll get to as we go. A few bits of news. Rio Hatate played 45 minutes in a bounce game this week against St Mirren and, by all accounts, got through it unscathed. Stuart, having Hatate back, we know is good. It's maybe about how he's back into the squad.
Very much so. I was really pleased to hear that. I thought there would be some sort of bounce game for him during this sort of period of time, and I'm pleased it was this week instead of next week, because it just shows that he's clearly at a level of fitness currently where they feel like he would have minutes if we were playing games, and maybe that gives you the opportunity to have another bounce game starting next week, or at least another week of kind of good training with the team. I do think that as much as it would be an incredible addition for these games, and especially obviously everyone's got an eye on the game at Ibrox, I think you want to be a bit more measured with how you bring him back into the team, purely because he's a player that takes a while to get back up to the speed, not just in terms of his fitness, his game fitness, but his sharpness of thought essentially, and he's talked about that himself quite openly, and I think that given the high stakes nature of the game at Ibrox, you wouldn't want him to come in and have the game just completely pass him by and be like a man down, especially when someone like Iwata has been playing well and could be really, really functional in terms of slowing down and controlling a game there, if you are sort of quite rightly viewing a point as a good result. I think that they just have to manage it. I think that I would happily see him come off the bench against Livingston, and the same again at Ibrox, to be honest. I think that of the two, McGregor is probably the more important one to be fit for Ibrox. But obviously great that he's on his way back, and if he can just stay fit, same for Carter Vickers, if they can stay fit, we're a completely different team. So fingers crossed for that.
With a question from John, who asked, who's more important to this team, a fully fit McGregor or Hatate? Sure, I'll stay with you on this one, and then we'll hear from Alan.
I would say McGregor. I know that Hatate offers things that no other player in the league can, but I thought about this when I saw it come in, and I can't think of a game where Rio Hatate has sort of single-handedly ran the show or won the game on his own. I think that there are definitely games that stand out. The 3-0 game is obviously one of his like big highlights, those goals. But in that game, Callum McGregor also had an absolutely, you know, peerless performance. And I think that if there's anyone in the squad that could go and single-handedly drag a team through the game, it would be Callum McGregor playing his absolute best. And I think we saw that in the last derby at Celtic Park. So I think he's a little bit more important, though you're talking about two incredibly good players that offer you two quite different things in the team. But if I had to choose between the two of them, I would probably say McGregor.
All right, same question to Alan. And also, Alan, how would you sort of manage Hatate's return to the squad?
Yeah, I think I would agree a lot with Stuart. I think you need to look at the 8 remaining league games and not look at Rangers at Ibrox, because I think realistically it will be too soon. I think sometimes we, especially at this time of the year, I can remember too many Celtic performances where it feels like we've walked into a little bit of a trap going to Ibrox with players that are clearly talented but aren't there yet. And I just think time is probably against Rio to play a significant contribution in that game. Anything more than even 20 minutes, half an hour feels quite difficult, because the intensity and pace of that game probably couldn't be any further from a two each bounce game draw with I think it was St Mirren. That's very, very different. I think the fact that Libby as well is on an artificial pitch, I know it's not necessarily an injury that would be aggravated by that, but I think, again, that's the type of... When you go to that stadium, you want to just go and get the points and get out. I don't think you think too much about getting someone half an hour. It's a very tight pitch. There's not necessarily a lot of run in it. So I'm just really cautious about the next two games for you. I think what you need to leave it up to the other guys to say, look, make sure you're still in a position that you those last six games mean everything, and then think about those for Hitachi, because I think you can still get the big boost from having them there, just not counting on them for that game at Rangers. I think, going to answer the question, I feel like for Rick McGregor, again, Stuart's spot on. You think of some of the performances he's put in at Ibrox, it does have that ability to break through lines and just make something happen, just almost sometimes through sheer will. And I always go back to, I know it's like an iconic performance in itself, but that driving run that he made in the 2-1 game, where it's almost like he just decides, I need to go and make something happen here. Very uncharacteristic, but he has a great sense of moment. Callum McGregor, he's a captain for a reason, and I would be more tempted to be, this is going to sound horrible and it'll probably get thrown back in my face, Callum McGregor, if you bandage him up, jab him whatever cortisone or whatever it is you give players that's entirely within the rules, I'd jag him up with whatever to have him out in that pitch at Ibrox, because I just think he's a massive player. And if he then missed maybe the game the week after, I mean, the Scotland and the Euros can not be further from my thoughts, to be honest. But if you can get him through that game and he can give you something at that game, then I think that's massive. Because I think it's very difficult to go to Ibrox without Callum McGregor and certainly get a win. I think that's very, very difficult. So I think he is huge. I think he's the most important player to play in these big games, I think, for us between now and the end of the year.
Just get him to pour barley water on his injury, because that's what tennis players do, right? Barley water, Robinson's barley water. Nope. Okay, just me that thinks that. I think I agree with both of you. We've just seen Callum McGregor lift his, and like you said, Alan, he's a man of moments, and so many of those moments have come against Rangers. Do you think, with Hatate, do you think we, as Celtic fans, kind of, we almost put so much pressure and so much weight on him being in the team that, Stuart, sometimes we know it takes him like 3 or 4 games to kind of get up and running. Are we kind of doing him a bit of a disservice sometimes with that pressure?
Maybe, but I think he'll have put a lot of pressure on himself as well. Like, I think he'll be extremely disappointed with this season that he's had. Obviously not much that he can do about it. That's the nature of injuries, especially as someone that, by all accounts, really takes care of himself, is very, very professional, very, very diligent with their health. I think that he would have seen this season as a chance to make an impact in Europe, playing at the Champions League level again. I think he would have seen this as probably his last year at Celtic, looking to move on. And now he's in a bit of a tight spot where he's probably not, made enough of an impression to really justify that big move down south or to the Bundesliga or somewhere like that. Just because he now maybe has a rep as being quite injury prone, having missed most of a season. So I think that he will want to come in and do as much as he can in the short period of time that he has. And I think that you'll get that out of him. And I think, kind of like Alan says, yes, there's a big focus on that Ibrox game. And I actually think that, sort of maybe a point I'll return to, the fact that the way that their Dundee game has been scheduled, I think, perhaps plays a little into our favour just psychologically. Mm-hmm. But those 6 games are really important. And if you can ease Rio Hitachi back in and he uses those 6 games to be flawless, peerless, the best player in the league, really try and salvage something from his season, then we win as well, And the next derby's as important as this one. I just think that the fact that we're going to ideally, presuming that we win against Livingston, they get a result against Hibs, we'll be going into the game a point ahead, albeit with them having a game in hand. I think that is quite a big thing, because if you lose that game and suddenly you're 5 points behind, it starts to feel like, well, that's game over. Whereas even if they got a result, they still have to go and you know, win their game in hand. And I just think the psychology of it shifts slightly. So, yeah, you want Rio Hitati to have time to make an impact, but you don't want him coming back too soon, either having his, you know, a recurrence of his injury or just, yeah, just a really flat sort of disappointing, oh, we should have tempered this a little bit more.
I hope that he does come back and he's feeling good and does what he can do it. And sometimes when he comes back from injury, his passing's just bananas. His passing's just like crazy. Like the angles are way off. The weight of the passes are insane, but maybe not this time. One player that's going to sort of, I hate to use the word benefit from Hitati being eased back in and from McGregor being injured is Paulo Bernardo. So it was a bit of gossip today. Portuguese outlet Abola, suggesting that Celtic are poised, Alan, to trigger Bernardo's buy option, which is around the €7.5 million mark. Question from Brian. Can you put an argument together for signing Bernardo? Does he do enough? Has he suffered because of the constant changes around him and throughout the team? And finally, could he seriously challenge for a place in that midfield? So what do you think about this bit of news, first of all?
Yeah, I think all of the things that have been raised in there can be true. I think he is a talented player. I think I'm not surprised that the club are interested, but I think at the price point that we previously agreed and now we don't fancy, I can see both sides of that. I don't think, given the way we spend money, the kind of emphasis that we put on trying to maximise value, particularly in these loan to potentially buy deals, you know, you look at Jota's one, Carter Vickers another, we'd like to see something in that intervening period that justifies maybe a significant, you know, price tag. And I don't think that, certainly in terms of output, I don't think you've seen that from Bernardo. I don't think he's had that consistency. He looks like a young player that's here to iron out a lot of the kinks in his game. I think the club probably would be interested. I think Brendan Rodgers has used him enough, particularly in big games, and I think that's maybe one of the important things. To he used him a lot in big games in Europe, granted maybe enforced to a certain extent, but he did have some other options. He get plenty more chances before Timoki Awata did, for example. But I do think unless we have a significant budget, I think spending maybe £6.5-7 million or euros, whatever it is, on Paulo Bernardo, it does seem a little bit much. I think he's just been a little bit too subtle. I think he will improve from better players around him, and I think there is a need to get better players around whoever comes in the middle of the park next year. I think that is a priority, but I can see why the club are maybe looking to restructure that or change that a little bit, because I don't think you've necessarily seen enough to get £6.5 million value out of him. I think particularly for a club like us who don't spend, you know, north of £6-7 million very often, I think if you were to say to us, given the year he's had in and out the team, granted he's young, he has a big upside, but to get that value back, I think would be, you know, it'd be a longer term goal. So I can't see the club sinking anything into that, but maybe there is a bit of room for manoeuvre there, a bit of discussion. But I think he's got a lot of developing to do, but I think there has been good signs. I do like him. I think he is very, very subtle. But I think if you had a better team around him, I think he is a kind of player that can thrive, passes and move, and always trying to kind of manipulate players with that movement. A lot of times it hasn't come off, and he's struggled to make his mark in games. And I think that would be the concern when you are spending, you know, making him one of your, you know, top 10 signings ever. I just don't know if those two things quite fit.
Aye. Stuart, what do you think? I'm a bit confused about almost like the timing of the announcement or the timing of this news too, because we don't have to make a decision for a bit longer. What do you make of it?
Well, firstly, I think that the expression too subtle is one of the nastiest things I've ever heard anyone say about a footballer in terms of damning them with faint praise. You're like, oh, a bit too subtle for me. I prefer it more on the nose. I think that my opinion is that the price is too high for what he offers you, but I can see the upside in bringing in a player like Bernardo into that squad. If he is to be the, let's call him the fourth man in a perfect world where, you know, you're not ravaged by injuries, I think the Celtic midfield is going to look quite different next season. I think you can expect O'Reilly to move on. You could possibly expect Hitati to move on. Obviously, caveats with what I've just said, that, you know, he's had very injury hit season, which might affect that. I don't think that Bernardo is ready to step up and fill the void of either of those players. But I suspect that perhaps Brendan Rodgers sees something in him or sees the way he trains, that he's very coachable. And if he had more time with him and, as Alan says, better players around him, then there's possibility that he could get, you know, a higher level of performance out more consistently. And I think that with Bernardo, maybe subtle is the word, there are fine margins where he tends to get himself in really good positions. His finishing has been incredibly frustrating the last few weeks when he's had quite a consistent run in the team. And it looked like something had clicked for him when he had that run, obviously including the Rangers game, of taking chances and scoring quite big goals for us at points when we really needed him. And I don't think that for that value, for that £7 million, call it, you would want to be seeing a lot more of that. If they can negotiate the price down, call it 4 or 5. I think if you called it 5, he's an excellent addition when you consider the Barkas, Bernabe, Lagerbielka, Navrotsky.
Don't lump Lagerbielka, Navrotsky in with those guys.
I'm just talking about, well, absolutely lump Lagerbielka in with those guys. That's a player that the manager would rather play a centre midfield at centre half than him in his natural position. And I think that's harsh as fuck, but it's the reality of it. So when you look at the business on paper, it's £3.5 million down the drain. Obviously, you might get it back in the summer, but I suppose my point is the club's comfort level with spending that money is clearly much more than is at £6-7 million. But also, don't fucking agree to the deal if you're not gonna, if you're gonna welch on it. You know, like, that's not really good business across Europe.
I like the idea of just sending you in to do the negotiations. Just be like, call it five. Yeah, Alan, do you want to come in on that?
Say you've knocked him down by £2 million pocket. I don't know, 500,000, is that too much? Is that 250,000? I think there's maybe two elephants in the room there that have probably been flagged up, and one of them being Matt O'Reilly. You know, Real Hikati is entirely different. You know, there's different circumstances there, but it's not unfathomable that both of them could leave in the summer. And I think when you then add on top of that, Brendan Rodgers is, you know, as he's told us, looking forward to going into year two, irrespective. I think, when you start totting up the amount of positions that you need, you really don't want to be doing what you did last summer and bringing in 8 or 9, because it then becomes very difficult. And then you go into a November, December, the following year, where you're still talking about players bedding in and gelling in. And I think the expectations of a year two manager are that actually should be much further down the line. So there might be a familiarity there with Paolo Bernardo, and you feel that you'll get more out of him. I would entirely expect that, particularly given what you've seen. So I think it's reasonable. I think it is, you know, rather than just walking away from the deal entirely, maybe looking at it and thinking, does a player want to stay? Does he see a platform here? Can you maybe get, you know, a little bit more value out of that deal? I don't know if the manager really believes in him, you know, and this is not a fan speaking or anything like that. This is if Brendan Rodgers believes in him and says, yeah, I really want that player, and the club say, well, no, because we're not paying that money, then you start to get into the kind of territory that we were in early 2019, I think, as well. So I think there's quite a lot of things to navigate there, and turnover of players probably is one of the big ones.
Timothy Castagne has a lot to answer for, right? Timothy Castagne is like the poster boy for that fallout.
I've seen him pop up on...
He scored at the weekend, or he assisted at the weekend to play for Fulham.
He's been around the house. He hasn't quite turned out to play. I remember a lot of us were really willing to die on that hill that £9 million fullback would be.
To be fair, he did do very well at Leicester initially.
Yeah.
Relegation.
We get Jeremy Tolyan out of it. So, really, and Jojo Kenny. Really, who won?
I'm going to really start dishing out yellow cards here, because a lot of names getting thrown out that are... I'm going to use the word triggering, because we had Barkas, now we've had Tolyan. Jesus.
Look, we've all said a lot of things we regret, Alan. Let's just move on. Matt O'Reilly, you both mentioned Matt O'Reilly. It's probably looking likely that he will go. He's obviously had probably a great season at some points. Not so great latterly, although I thought he played pretty well in the last couple of games. He's basically come out and said, Stuart, that he was not upset when Celtic knocked back Atletico Madrid's offer for him, I think, in the summer or at the winter transfer window. That's very magnanimous of him, don't you think?
He strikes me as a very magnanimous young man. I think that, you know, he talked a lot about how his mindfulness and his approach to his life, not just football, has really helped him stay on. And even Keelan has perhaps been behind those positive performances that we're seeing in the first half of the season. And I think that something like that probably would stop you in your tracks, but I suspect that he's been able to take it in his stride. He doesn't look like a player that's sulking. He looks like a player that's maybe suffered a little bit from the injuries that have been in the team, the inconsistency with performances, wide players, system, players not quite knowing what they're doing. And I think that, I think I mentioned this last week, that something I'm really excited about with Hitati and McGregor coming back into the team is that I think you'll get a lot more out of O'Reilly as well as we come to the end, because it's players that he knows how to play with, exciting players. He knows that Rio Hitati's going to do the running for him. He knows where he's going to be. He knows that he can find the pass and blah, blah, blah. So hopefully he can have a really strong end to the season. And I think that over the piece, well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have booked the Hydro for the candidates that we'll have for player of the year. But over the piece, he probably is the standout, if there had to be one, player of the year for Celtic. And I think that he's a stick-on to go in the summer, whatever it is. And I think he'll go with everyone's good graces, because that's been a tremendous 2.5 years out of what was essentially not a punt, but a very much a bit of bonus business that you did in a January window. And great player, great ambassador for the club while he's been here, and you kind of wish him well. But I think that, I don't think his head's been turned. I think that if there wasn't a right deal for him, I think he would quite happily play on next season. But I suspect that while he has this opportunity, it'll be interesting to see if he goes to the Euros, of course, as well. That might be a factor. I think Denmark qualified, and he was called up to the squad this week, so that might be a consideration for him as well. But yeah, I think for the time being, his head's right.
I feel like his performances, they appear to have dipped. He's maybe not making the same goal contributions as he was in the first half of the season. But Alan, I don't know, having watched them past few games, I feel like his link-up work with Alistair Johnson and either Yang or Maida has brought out the best in those other two players. He's pretty unselfish at times, Matt O'Reilly.
Yeah, I think he is the type of player that I don't think he's certainly not the type of player that likes to breeze past people with the ball. He likes to use his teammates, communicate with them, be a step ahead mentally of the opposition, because he is a clever player. He's always looking for the reverse pass. I think he's always trying to pick out Kyogo, but just a lot of traffic at times between him and Kyogo. I think he's a really good player. I think the only thing that's, he's not there yet in terms of being able to carry the team single-handedly over a long period of time. Now, that's absolutely reasonable. I think you have to give him quite a bit of leeway at times with, to be honest, some of the players that have been on a part of him at times, and obviously there's like a few that could fit into that scenario. I think you would be looking around thinking this is a slog, and he does cut an exasperated figure at times, but I think that's just because he's competitive. I like his attitude. I like that he doesn't mind digging out other players in the park. He loves to have a moan. I like players like that. I like that attitude, that, you know, not really too upset if someone's, you know, you've ruffled the feathers a wee bit. I think sometimes a good team can do that. And I think he looks like a player that, to me, that's probably going to a higher level. You know, certainly Champions League standard club consistently. It does have a little bit of that air about it as well, that there's been a conversation had in January. Play nice. You know, you've got a good contract. We want to get a good fee for you. We can't sell you this time. It's just not, we're not in a position to do that. Had you been 8-7 points ahead, whatever it was, you might have been able to do that, but we weren't, and Madrid moved on quickly, but there'll be plenty of other clubs there. It's just about getting a move, so I think there has been a kind of discussion there, so you would expect that. So, you know, I think Stuart's right, it does go with your best wishes, but you really, really would like him to go with another couple of medals in his pocket as well. That would really cement what has been an incredible 2.5 years.
It depends on the medals, because if you look at Atletico's run to the Champions League final, it looks pretty all right. So he might have ended up a European Cup winner, dependent on if he'd gone. But sure, he'd be fine with the Scottish Cup.
He doesn't seem like a guy that he doesn't covet medals. He covets like
vibes,
sleep. Yeah, vibes.
Covets exactly. Vibes
and Scottish League winners medals. Hopefully,
ideally. Yes, ideally.
That would be great.
Look, we all want Matt O'Reilly to... We all want to see Matt O'Reilly lifting that trophy and then the Scottish Cup trophy the following week as he exits Celtic for, I'm going to say, £30 million. Will we take £30
million? Yes, thank you. You shouldn't have.
Okay, my pleasure. I'm happy to seal that deal. Couple more listener questions before we wrap up. Do you want like a good one or a scary one? Let's go for the scary one first and try and end on a good note. This is from...
What? I thought we had an option there. No, we're just getting a scary one.
Let's just go, you know, let's get the scary one out of the way. It's called delaying gratification. Alan, we'll save the good stuff for later. This is from Max. Max says, been catching up the last week or so of shows, genuine scary question that came to mind. And this is pretty bleak. We're all obviously scared about Cal Mac's injury, and hopefully after international break, it isn't one that we need to worry about yet. But if he was to retire after the season due to injury, etc., who steps up to replace in that team? Cameron Carter-Vickers, whose injury record isn't great either? Curious to hear you and the team's thoughts. So that's, Stuart, there's a lot to process in that question, but let's see if we can come up with something for Max.
Do you know what? This is, it's a shame that Barry's not here tonight, and we wish him well because he would like this. But the first thing that I thought of when Max sent that in, I thought of Harchester United, and I thought of Dream Team, where players could just die at a moment's notice. Like, what if Cal McGregor got shot at the Scottish Cup final? Who'd be the captain then? It's like, well, I don't know. Like that, I don't know. I think that it's a dramatic scenario to paint when we don't currently know what the nature of Cal McGregor's injury is. I suppose that's why it's maybe easier to jump to retirement as a potential outcome. But working in this doomsday scenario, I think they'd probably make Carter-Vickers the captain. I think they'd have to go and... I don't think that there's many players that can bring to the club what Cal McGregor does. I also think that there is going to be a bit of a leadership void, vacuum, whatever you want to call it, in the summer, irrespective of if McGregor retires or not. Losing the likes of Joe Hart, for example, as a deputy is not ideal. So I'm not really sure where that's going to come from. I think that there has to be a bit of a rebalancing of the just overall makeup of the squad. And I think that Brendan Rodgers has been quite vocal about that. The club have been very ineffective at building that, but the notion of bringing in a 25, 26-year-old experienced player who can come and like leadership is one of their key characteristics that would be great to plug in with some young prospects. And we have done it, but just quite sparingly. And I think that we will need to have a little bit more of that. Joe Hart was a great example of that, a player coming with vast amounts of experience. Obviously easier for goalkeepers than it is for outfield players, but I think that they'll need to address that in the summer window, but hopefully not to replace Cal McGregor.
Agreed. Alan, what do you think? Leadership figures in that changing room?
Yeah, well, I think Max's bedside manner might need work. I really hope he's not a GP. I think there's a slight danger of his putting a lot of pressure on, putting extra pressure on the summer transfer window. You're already trying to clearly recover some of the work that you've done in the last two. I think having to then add in big character with experience, you know, given a record, if you can get that, great, but you're adding a hell of a lot of filters onto exactly the type of player you want, and well, a record isn't great. We actually don't really know at this point who is going to be behind the scenes doing that kind of work as well. And I think Cameron Carter-Vickers, I think, would be a really good captain. I think he's very much the type of captain that's very quiet generally, but he's a talker on the park. He's aggressive. I think he could build into that role. And it is a case of someone taking the armband and, you know, making it their own a little bit. I don't think there's too many that you would necessarily pick out. I think Tomoki Iwata, to be fair, is another of those kind of type of characters. But again, you need someone that's a guaranteed starter, and the manager is going to have one in the park every week. And I think Iwata probably isn't that, if I'm honest, and Brendan Rodgers' heart of hearts long term. So yeah, there is just a slight concern, though, that if, you know, you're thinking, well, it needs to be someone that we bring in, it's really hard for new signings as it is to then bring someone in new and give them the armband, I think is just probably unlikely unless we're shopping in a very, very different market than we have been, certainly in the last two windows.
I think it's important to remember as well that when Scott Brown moved on, there were a section of fans, some cynics as well, who know who they are, that thought that Callum McGregor wasn't captain material and that he wouldn't be able to step up. There are some people currently that think he doesn't step up and that he hides. So I think that he's a vastly different player than when he wasn't captain. I think he took it and embodied it and brought those characteristics out of himself with the responsibility that was kind of bestowed upon him. So you might find that players that you think might be on the borderline of having that would surprise you if they were given that opportunity, if they had to. For example, if O'Reilly was sticking around, that is maybe the sort of thing that he could grow into. You never know. But yeah, as Alan says, it's something that has to kind of be addressed in the summer, and hopefully Cam McGregor doesn't retire from football.
Well, I think we all hope that. Max, thank you for your question. I kind of get where Max is coming from. Those are some of the type of thoughts that I have about Celtic in my darker moments. I do find it quite rude that the PRA haven't even acknowledged the person at the club with loads of experience of being at the club. You know, a big figure in the dressing room. Shout out to Baniacs all over the world. Captain Scott Bain, starting goalkeeper next season. And captain, once Cal McGregor retires, apparently. All right, I'm glad we got through that. Great answers. One final listener question. It is from Paul. That's a nice way to kind of close things out. If you could only strengthen one area next season, out with goalkeeper, obviously because it's going to be Scott Bain, what position would it be and what type of player? And Paul's looking for specifics here. So, Alan, I'll come to you first on this.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could have a right good stab at a few areas here, but he has dictated it's one and it's a winner. I think it has to be at centre half. I hold out hope for Navrotsky. I think there's a player there. I think his speed will always be an issue, to be fair. I don't think he is going to be the type of commanding player that you've got on the other side. And I think the other two candidates, you know, that are there, I think Leemsky has put a lot of the season some really high moments, incredibly against Atletico, but the consistency and the concentration it takes over a long period to deliver just consistently good performances maybe hasn't been there. And I think Stephen Welsh is too good not to. I think he's probably too good to be fourth choice at Celtic. And I think he could play a higher ball of football elsewhere. So I think there is a need to. I think in Brendan Rodgers' style, there's a need. You need a really top level defender that can do it all. I think there will always be a glass ceiling in our team if we struggle and take an extra touch at the back, or you know, someone's not comfortable on one side. I think you need a top quality defender. So I think centre half, there's loads of other positions I would have pitched for. Mentioned earlier about having that knockout winger out wide. Don't think they have that at this point in time, but I think the idea that you go into a Champions League campaign or even Europa League, in fairness, without confident, comfortable, aggressive, but also technically adept centre-half pairing and get out of it with any sort of credence, success, whatever you want to call it, I think it's just not there. So I think priority one will have to be shipping out centre-halves potentially and then bringing a, you know, top quality defender in.
Sure.
It's quite damning given how much business was done in that position in the last window, well, the last summer window. But I would agree that that probably is the priority position because you don't have someone, I don't think you've even got someone that you've replaced to the level of Starfelt. And I think that when we had that pairing of Carter Vickers and Starfelt, they were great, but you were still looking to build on that. And we've kind of gone backwards and there's a great amount of uncertainty. But just to offer a different perspective, because as Alan says, there are a number of areas of the pitch that you could look at. I think given the transfer business that is likely going out the way with O'Reilly, I think a really, really good starting central midfielder is what is going to be required, because you're really going to need to retool and rebalance that. Whether Tomoki Iwata just becomes a real fixture of the team as a six and you have McGregor and then it's one other, which could be Hitati, could be Bernardo as that fourth player. I think that you still need to bring in someone of, can you replace the quality of O'Reilly? Hard to say, but in that mould or in that, someone that can contribute in that way. So I think that that's where there's going to have to be a bit of priority. But I think you're very much in sort of rebuild territory across the whole squad. And to be fair, they have continued to do work on that, whether it's Abada, Bernabe going out. I don't think it's not gone through, but the talk of Kobayashi going as well just now, like utilising these international windows that are closing at kind of odd times in the season and not being precious about keeping the players. They clearly are still trying to thin out that squad, and, you know, Mikey Johnson doing well away on loan, maybe gets him a move, and just like some of the players that weren't featuring in a bit of the Deadwood gone first really helps you restructure things.
Totally forgot we had Yuki Kobayashi as well.
He actually played in a bounce game yesterday against St Mirren.
The same one as Rayo.
He did. Gustav Lagerbielke played as well. And O played. Those were the four players that I know.
He still didn't manage to win. I never realised those last played as well.
Alarming.
I like the idea that the Celtic podcast fraternity might start becoming up in arms about bounce games now as well. That seems the kind of thing I could get on board with. Getting needlessly annoyed about, you know, behind closed doors friendlies.
The minute bounce game.
Yeah, we need something new to moan about. Is it weird, or how weird is it, that I really believe that Gustav Lagerbielke could... do you know what? Let's just... We've all had a nice time. Let's just...
I think he could be a very, very good player, Paul. I just don't think he'd be a very, very good player here. I think he needs to... Certainly not in a Brendan Rodgers team. He's very, very slow. Quite dithery, as it turns out, as well, if I can catch him back to September. But we don't need to go over old ground. But I think... I wouldn't be surprised if you make most of your money back on Lagerbielke, because someone will see that and come in and get him.
There's a sucker born every minute.
Let's get in touch with Red Bulls, New York Red Bulls. We get a good return on Klamala there, so let's see if they're up for another goal.
What's going on? The money we got for Abada as well. Unbelievable. Right, we're going to close out the podcast with a bit of a quiz. Shout out to Barry Gallagher. I've not been able to do a quiz as excellent as Barry's last week, so we're going back to the tried and tested guess the players in the lineup for a specific game. 21 years ago, Liverpool 0, Celtic 2, 2003, on the road to Seville. I have the starting 11 and the subs from that game. So a lot of well-known players. It's quite an easy one. Let's see who can get the furthest. So I don't know who started last time. Stuart, you can go first.
Alan Thompson.
Thompson played. Alan.
Robert Douglas.
Rob Douglas played. Stuart.
Bobo Baldi.
Baldi started. Alan.
Johan Mjalby.
Mjalby, yes. Excellent so far. Stuart.
Vilharen.
Alan.
Neil Lennon.
Correct. Stuart.
Chris Sutton.
Sutton did not play. Not on the bench. Alan.
John Hartson.
Hartson, who scored, of course. Stuart, you got one strike.
Larson.
Correct.
Oh, Henrik Larson. Oh,
listen, you know that I'm
embarrassing. Embarrassing.
I'm always fine for my life in these things.
Right, Alan, there are three other players that started and all the subs.
Didier Agat.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Agat did not play. So that's a wee arrow pointing towards another player.
Confident there.
So, one strike.
Steady, Paul. Steady.
McNamara.
Was on the bench.
Counts. Still counts, well.
It does count. Alan.
Paul Lambert,
correct. Stuart. It's not easy, is it?
I'm just forgetting who we've had as well. I'm trying to piece it together on the actual pitch. Maloney's
on the bench. Yeah. Good guess. A bit of a Hail Mary, but...
Big time.
Alan?
Stan Petrov.
Petrov.
How many starters have we got left?
There's one starter and 1, 2, 3, 5 subs. So I'll tell you who you've got, who's been picked so far. Starting. Douglas, Spialbi, Baldy, Volharen, Lennon, Lambert, Petrov, Thompson, Larson, Hartson, and on the bench, McNamara, Maloney.
Guppy have been on the bench?
Guppy was on the bench? Remarkable. Remarkable. Alan?
It was Stan Varga?
No.
That's a bit of a win.
Stuart wins. That's unbelievable. See, from where you were a few minutes ago, Stuart, I don't know how you did it, but you did it, and that's what matters.
I think that's outrageous not getting that there, to be fair. The Seville team should be, I think I should be taken out back and, I'm not shot, but maybe left outside for a bit.
A word had with you. Who were we missing, Paul?
At right wing back, Momo Sylla.
I was going to say Sylla, but I thought that's something that I might have got dramatically wrong.
And then Marshall, Larson, Smith and Craney.
Larson.
Craney was also on the tip of my tongue.
I'll be seeing Stan Varga in my nightmares tonight. So just
quite
like brother.
Quite an imposing man to see in nightmares.
Some head of hair on him as well.
I was like Deirdre from Coronation Street, wasn't it?
Deirdre with her big veins in her neck. Anyway, we're getting a bit off topic here. Thanks very much, listeners. Thanks for all your questions, for getting in touch. Probably back to the usual next week. Shout out to Barry. I'll be Paul Carlin. Alan Edgar, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Sure. Thanks very much.
Some sort of cowboy pun. Thanks. Saddle up. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll do. Saddle up. Okay. From Stuart, from Alan, and from me, Paul Carlin. This has been The Cynic, and yeehaw, or something like that. I don't know.